Sometimes change can feel scary, but it can also be exhilarating. A time to stretch our boundaries, embrace opportunity, and start something new. Welcome to the Baby Brunch Parenting Series, made just for you by BrightRock, the provider of the first ever needs-matched life insurance that changes as your life changes. This is a Baby Brunch podcast. I get to meet a lot of people. A whole lot of people. And some are good people and some are not so good people. And then I get to meet people who don't even realize the change they make in people's lives. And Liz, I really think that you're one of those people. I don't think you understand the impact that you have had and also that you will have in every mother and child's life from when you started your business to when you will retire one day when you're 109.
Thank you, Lana. Honestly, that really makes my day. Because, you know, to me, that's what brings me joy, is that thing of being able to empower parents and to create connections between parents and their children. It really does make such a difference in people's lives. And it really makes me happy to hear that.
Clamber Club is the creation of Liz Senior. She's a well-known occupational therapist. I'm reading your biography. She's based in Johannesburg. Liz is passionate about movement, health, fitness, learning, and also you're passionate about what you've just mentioned, connecting mom with baby, connecting dad with baby. I'll tell you how I know you, because okay. I don't even think you know this, right? So I just had my eldest baby, and I remember I went to a particular mommy group because I thought it was necessary. She was 2 months at the time, and I wanted to learn how to play with my baby. Mm. And it was nice reading the books, but I found that most of them were American-based books, yeah. And I wanted something local, and I wanted to meet other moms. And myself and someone who's now my friend, one of my girlfriends, we went to this mommy group, and I felt really lonely because there were only the two of us. And I thought to myself, it can't be that amazing or great if there's only two of us. We need to find another place. Mm. And it was actually Lee, one of the moms that I'm still friends with, who connected me to Clamber Club. And I remember the first day that I walked in there, I thought, oh, how intimidating. All these moms, and they all know what's going on, and they all know what to do, and they all know how to breastfeed, and they all know how to do everything, and they seem like they've got it so together. When do I turn the baby seat around? I don't know. When do I stop breastfeeding? I don't know. How do I play with my baby? Is she sitting? Is she going to walk by the time? Is she going to graduate this class? You know, they have to walk by the time they leave. It was so overwhelming thinking that I'm going to need to speak to these women and make friends, because I don't need to make friends anymore because I work in media. And I meet a lot of people, and sometimes it's really exhausting, you know. Mm. Only later, when I ask people who created this unique environment for moms and dads to connect, I learned about who you are. And I only know you in the business capacity, but when I got a taste of who you are as a mom, I wanted to know more. I wanted to know more about a woman who was just like me and my entire class. Mm. And who's now established herself with a business as a businesswoman, because you don't wake up being a businesswoman, you wake up being a mom or someone's wife.
Yeah.
So I know I almost told your entire story by now. But I wanna go back to how old are you, Liz?
I am 56.
Okay, you're beautiful. Mm. You don't look 56, no. She's wearing a beautiful blouse with flowers and color and...
And I love bright colors.
You do. I know you do. The last time I saw you had a green dress on. Yeah. A Clamber Club dress.
My favorite color.
I know. Yeah. Green. Tell me about growing up. Where are you from?
Okay. So I was born, I'm from Irene, which is just between Pretoria and Joburg. And in those days, it used to be a tiny little village, which was absolutely beautiful. We used to live right near Irene Farm. And I think that had a big impact on my childhood, that sense of freedom, riding on a bicycle to go and collect the milk. It really did have a big impact on me. And I remember my parents taking me once to a little place called Debbie's Wonderland, and I've looked it up. I don't know where it is anymore.
Wow.
But I was probably about 6 years old, and it's one of my earliest memories of that area in Irene. And it was this place where a father had built for his daughter all these incredible concrete structures of nursery rhyme characters. So you could go into Mother Hubbard's little house, or you could go into the woman that had all these children that lived in a shoe, and you could sit on Humpty Dumpty's wall. And I think that was the very first time where it was, this is what I want when I grow up. I want a garden like this for children. Mm-hmm. The children can come and play in and feel so free and excited, and with this magical sense of the world that place had. And I think that was sort of my opening point of we're living in Irene, that was, this is what I want to do when I get big. I want to have a garden like this for children.
When later in life did you study after school?
Yes, I did. So actually I started studying teaching first, and then I sort of after a few months decided that wasn't going to be the right thing for me. And I applied to study for occupational therapy, but I couldn't get in anywhere. And
why not?
I don't know if it was my marks weren't really that fantastic, but I just wasn't able to get into any university, and my parents couldn't afford to pay for me to go, so I had to get a bursary. Mm. And I got a phone call when I was working at a flour mill, believe it or not, just sort of as a part-time job, because my parents had said to me, if I'm not going to study, I have to work and pay rent. And that was a big lesson for me, because mm-hmm. I realized that is not what I want to do for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
And it was actually a very healthy lesson. And when I applied, they'd said no, I hadn't got in. And a week before varsity started at Tuckey's in Pretoria, they phoned and said, someone had dropped out, do I want to take the place?
Yes.
And that was it. I took the place. And it actually, that was the thing that I was supposed to be. That was the profession I feel that I was born to be doing, is occupational therapy. And I absolutely loved every single part of that study course, a 4-year degree. My biggest struggle probably was that I couldn't speak Afrikaans mm-hmm. yet. So I went in, and in those days as well, all the classes were in Afrikaans. Mm-hmm. So I would spend many days crying, because things like spira, klira, and nira all sound the same.
Yeah.
Kidneys, muscles, and glands. And then I'd try and translate them into dictionary, but then my spelling was wrong, so I wouldn't know what it was. But literally within about 6 months, I actually, I was completely fluent, and I was really able to start doing, I wouldn't even notice the difference between English and Afrikaans. So, to me it was such a gift. I learned to study in Afrikaans. I learned to speak in Afrikaans. Mm-hmm. I learned the wonderful Afrikaans humor that I find is so expressive. But having that degree has been such a blessing for me. It's just really created my path. And it's a very wide-ranging degree. But, of course, I decided to specialize in children. Yeah.
Why did you decide to specialize in children? And I ask this because that's what you do every day of your life now.
Yeah. That ability to bring joyfulness and connection between a parent and a child, and to empower both parent and child, it's so incredibly rewarding. It melts my heart, actually, when I go and visit a franchise and I just watch the parents having fun with their child. There's that innocence.
I love that. Okay, let's quickly pause on that. You're going to make me cry, but just say, because children are so rewarding.
Yeah. They really are. And it's that, you know, it's not only the rewarding of children's reactions to the sense of magic that they see in the world and the goodness that they bring to the world, but it's also, I think, working with children helps to also empower parents. Mm. And, you know, starting with, even with our Clamber Club, as classes as young as 2 months old, you know, apart from all the learning and the benefits and everything that happen in a class or in the work that we do, it's the connection and that warmth that you get in your heart when you see the happiness that can come out of just having fun together. Yeah.
Parenting is it's almost your job. It's what you do for a living. Do you think you're a good mom?
In some things, yeah. Definitely not in everything. I think I can be quite bossy. But my daughter's just as bossy as me, so that sort of cancels that one out. But on the whole, yes, I think that I've been a good mom, and I've loved motherhood. I've really loved motherhood. It's such a personal journey of growth and personal growth and a sense of humility that you get bringing a child into this world. And that is, to me, incredibly rewarding. So I've loved being a mom. Everything about being a mom, I've loved. All the school runs and the extramurals and homework, maybe not as much when they get into the older grades, but everything else. And you know, now my kids are 24 and 25, and my adopted son is now, well, he came into my life when he was 13, and he's now 38. So they're all grown up now, but they're still my children, and you know, you're still always mothering them. You're still saying, when you see them, you're going to get cold if you don't put that jersey on when you go out. And they're like, Mom, yes, we know that.
Backtrack 38 years ago.
Yeah.
And the reason why I wanted to speak to you today is because often we speak to moms and moms-to-be, and we all fairly new in the parenting game. Mm-hmm. I'm a stepmom, and my children are 14, 12, Annabelle is 2 and Esther is 4. So I've still got a long journey to go, and so do a lot of people that's listening to our conversations and our podcasts.
Yeah.
And often we look at people who have done it or who have got their stuff together, and we go, oh my goodness, how am I going to do that? How am I going to achieve that? So I want to go back to when you just had your... Did you get married late in life?
Yep, I got married when I was 30.
Why?
Well, because I only met the man of my dreams at that stage. I met him when I was 29. And 3 months later, we were engaged. And I just knew he was the man for me.
He came with a son.
He came with a son who at that stage was... he was nearly 13. So he was 12.
So, I mean, I know a few stepmoms. And the only reason I can say that word now is because I said to my eldest daughter, who is now 14, I remember she was 6 at the time, and I said to her, can we call me something else? Like, is there another name? Can't you call me Lally or Nana or Lana? And she said to me, stepmom is not a bad word.
Yeah.
I can call you stepmom. So even in their birthday cards, I would write them a message and go, love, stepmom.
Oh, sweet.
Because it's the name that I have, you know? Yeah. 13 is a tough age to start parenting someone.
It is a tough age, and he taught me a lot. We grew a lot together, and he's just ended up being the most incredible person in our family's life. He brings so much joy to all of us. He's now 38. He lives in London, and the three siblings, even though there's such a big age gap, are incredibly supportive of each other, and so he brought a lot of gifts to me. He taught me a lot about motherhood, you know, and yeah, for that, we'll be eternally grateful to him. He's a very, very special person.
There's a mom listening that is mothering an adopted child, a stepchild, a child that maybe has a mommy, and now they are the new mom. What's your one bit of advice? And I know that I've sprung this on you quickly because I never said that this would be one of our questions for today. Mm. But he's 38 now, and surely there's a lot of things that you've learned.
Yeah.
What's the one thing that you can tell us?
I think there's a lot of things I did wrong, a lot. So probably the lesson is to really make sure that you can have fun together and accept that you're not going to have the same when you go into that teenager's life at that age. You know, when your children are little, you build the values you want, you build the patterns of behavior you want, you build the opinions in a way to a certain extent. Of course, when they grow up, they have their own. But by then, that's already a little human being that's got his own opinions and his own ideas about life, and to respect those and to really try and find what it is in that child that brings them joy and happiness and what is meaningful to them. I think it's so important. And I made a lot of mistakes along the way, and thank goodness he was so forgiving of me.
You've studied to be an occupational therapist. You have done your years. You're learning Afrikaans. It was hard, easy. You're paying for your degree. And then you have your babies. But you know everything about babies because you've studied the course.
Well, you know, that's the amazing thing is I promise you nothing can prepare you for motherhood, whether you are the most qualified person in, I mean, I was an occupational therapist, or I am an OT, but that does not prepare you to being a mother, for being a mother.
What does prepare us?
I think just nothing, actually. I don't think anything can prepare you to be a mother. It's almost because every experience for every mother is different. Mm. And I think it's that sense of really just accepting this is, I've got to follow my gut feel. This is how I feel is the right way to be with my child. And reaching out to those mother and baby groups. And like you were saying, you went in there not knowing anything. You know, even as an OT, you don't know when your child is crying, what are they crying for? Hmm. If they can't talk yet. And you don't know those things.
Even when they can talk like mine.
Exactly. So, you know, I think those areas where you go in, like you were, it was such a wise thing to do, is you go into a group where you've got like-minded or mums that have got babies at the same age, and you start realizing, okay, I'm fine. Mm. These things I can trust. I can trust myself. I can trust my child. I can manage. And yes, I don't think anyone, no matter what anyone says, I don't think you can ever be prepared. It's a very humbling experience becoming a mother, because everything you think you know and everything you think you're going to do, you don't actually end up doing, because either you can't or you're like, okay, I'm giving in on that one. And it is a wonderful journey. It's very humbling and very rewarding at the same time.
I've been asked before if I would still have babies knowing what I know now. And I go, hell yes.
Oh, absolutely.
So I'm asking the question to you as well. Mm-hmm. If it's hard at times, I'm going to say it, why bother?
Because, you know, the rewards are just so much bigger than the hard times. Mm. You know, they really are. And I'm sure you know as a mum as well. Just those little things of your child coming and giving you a hug, or the amazing thing is my daughter went to Bangladesh for 2 months. She's a speech therapist, and she has recently just got back from there, and she sent us this card, a handwritten postcard.
Beautiful.
To say, Mom and Dad, just want to say a massive thank you for everything that you've done, because being in Bangladesh gave me an idea of how hard life can be. Mm. And you know, that just brought me so much happiness. It's such a simple thing, but it's those little things that are so meaningful having children. They bring you so many gifts and so many rewards. It's a wonderful journey. So, you know, you have those difficult times, but I think when you let those go and you actually think, let me just sit and have fun with my child. Let me just reconnect. Let me just actually, the two of us lie together and stroke our hair and all those sort of mundane things that we often just take for granted, and get back into the moment of being with these special human beings that really have been given to us as a gift. It's extremely rewarding. I don't know if you agree with me on that, but
I am nodding my head and becoming, you know what happened to me last week? So my daughter had a birthday party, and this was her third birthday party.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. And my husband said, why do we need to have three? And I said to him, because her birthday is my birthday.
Oh, you know,
I gave birth. I mean, why I need three birthday parties? And they weren't big and lavish.
Yeah.
Okay, the third one was. They were gold balloons and unicorns. But the one at home was simple, and we had two cupcakes, and she had a candle, and we sang. And after her unicorn birthday party, she was lying on my bed and I fell asleep next to her. And I woke up, and she woke up, and I looked at her, and you know, the eyes are still squint because she's you know, 4-year-old waking up. And I looked at her and I said to her, I love you so much. And she says to me, but I love you so much.
Oh, sweet.
And I said to her, you are great. And my 4-year-old daughter says to me, you make me great.
Oh, that's so beautiful.
And I thought, okay, I don't need a raise from work.
Yeah.
I don't need money. I don't need cash. I only need this little person telling me this for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
It's all I need.
And you are great. You know, that's the amazing thing, is children are so forgiving.
I know.
They really teach you about
I want to take my clothes off.
But they teach you about unconditional love.
Yeah.
And it is the simple things like that do make motherhood so rewarding. And I think sometimes we get so run over by our busyness in our lives that we forget to smell the roses. And I love how you talk about that mindfulness thing of being mindfulness with your children is sometimes just when you get home from work or you've had this hectic day and your kids are, I want this. And just letting it all go and looking at that little being or bigger being and saying, wow, this is an incredible person with so much wisdom and so much to give. And let me really connect with them, you know, before getting onto all the busyness and the hecticness in life. Because that's what makes life worthwhile, I think. And I really do hope that in the programs and the classes that we run, that we bring that sense for parents. That they, we also, a lot of our baby and toddler programs run Saturday classes, so moms and dads come to the classes. And, you know, for dads even also, so not just moms to have that connection, but for dads to have that fun with their children, it's so critical, not only for a healthy childhood, but also for parents' relationships with their children.
I want to talk about your Clamber Club journey.
Mm-hmm.
So in our walk the first time to this room that screams of beautiful colors and the teacher is dressed, well, she's not really a teacher, she's in socks, wearing jeans and a Jock the Frog t-shirt, and we feel welcome and our babies are playing and we duplicate the games at home and you can see them progress and grow, you know. What made you start Clamber Club? For those who don't know, tell us quickly, what is Clamber Club?
Okay, Clamber Club is a sensory and gross motor program, sensory motor and gross motor program that encourages children to move and learn. So it's really a movement through play and healthy movement through play. So physical fitness, energy, exercise, but the learning that happens through that is also quite a critical component. And so we have classes for babies for 2 to 12 month olds where mums and dads come with their baby. The toddler program for 1 to 3 year olds. And then we've also got sports programs. So that's not really where the parent and or is with them, but we run those sports programs in schools, which is a perceptual motor program for children. So it's got all the learning things behind it, but with exercise as the core component. And of course, party entertainment for children. Obstacle course parties. So again, it's the physical aspect of it.
I get a lot of messages from moms that says, So I get two things. Mm-hmm. My latest question was, why do you think my husband and I fight? I don't know. I'm not a psychologist. You know, I have conversations with people, so I can only unpack why most of us do that or why how we can fix it if we all sit in a group. The other thing that I often get is moms who want to go back into work or start their own businesses. What made motivated you to say, okay, well, I've got my degree. This is what I'm good at. This is my passion. This is how I'm going to develop a program that's also good for other people.
Yeah. You know, it was such an organic growth because as an OT, I actually lived in England for a while, and I took my nephew, who I was looking after at that time, to a program called some Tumble Tots or Tumbling Tots or something. And it just sparked something in me that I thought, this is what children should be doing. This is what we need. And I came back to South Africa and I started developing equipment that I thought would benefit children. And I started doing gross motor group work with remedial children and special needs children. So children that have drowned, children that have got syndromes. And it was so, so rewarding doing that work. And the equipment then developed and grew. And parents from that started saying, can I bring that equipment to their children's birthday parties?
Right.
And so at that stage, I wasn't married, I had no kids, and I started then taking this equipment to parties, and the parents loved it, and that grew to 50 parties a month and 2 van loads, vans of equipment, and I was still running the remedial groups, and that was developing sort of almost like the sports program that we have in the classes at the moment. And then when I had my own children, that was it. I was like, now, you know what, your life changes when you have a baby. All you want to do is baby stuff.
Yes. And buy baby stuff online.
Everything that interests you is baby. And
and talk about them.
And I was so fascinated by the OT side, you know, the learning that happens in young children and stimulation and the impact that it has on the developing brain. You know, from as young as 2 months, there's so much that you can be doing with baby. And so then I started with my own children developing the program and started running it in our lounge at home. And then people joined and, you know, after 7 years, someone then said, please can I also have a franchise? And that was when I realized, you know, this is something that we could be doing to, number one, have a bigger impact on more children around the country. So it's not just at our little venue. We could have an impact on people all over South Africa. That was exciting for me. The children could benefit from it. But then also that we could also empower mums that were wanting to have that flexibility to be with their children and raise their children in the way they wanted to, with relative flexibility, and still learn about child development and everything that goes around that, and run their own businesses. And so that first franchise was my stepping stone into developing a structure around the business. So the procedures and the policies and the very detailed lesson plans that we've got today. And yeah, then it just grew.
I think what you didn't put in that business plan is the amount of people you would meet and then stay friends.
Oh, absolutely.
Because I've met a few moms. In fact, yesterday I could start to make another mommy group because I needed something. And I said to this lady, well, share it in your mommy group. I need something. And she did. But I never thought that being part of a mommy group. Initially, I said to myself, no, I don't want all these people on WhatsApp in this group and whatever. But it became the one thing that, separate to classes in the day and doing a play date here and there when I wasn't working. But at night, that became our support group, you know? All the moms in that class, we literally, I've told Liz this before, we all got together, exchanged numbers. We're still online. When I'm in Cape Town, I sit down with my girls and we all hang out together with our children. Most of us have had second children now that play together. You know what's the remarkable
thing?
That's
so special. It is special. Like lifetime friendships.
But in that same group, and I mean, this I'm just telling to you, in that same group, even though I live in Gauteng and they're in Cape Town, I still get invited to all the birthday parties. Oh. Isn't it sweet?
So do you fly down?
No. But they still invite me because they realize that I'm part of the group and they don't want me. They don't want me to feel out. Yeah. So I'm still part of the group, you know? So those are the kind of relationships that you build when you hang out with like-minded people. Yeah. So this is my encouragement. Join a mommy group. Or join a group of women who, you know, you can always leave later on if you feel that you've got nothing in common.
Even sort of, even as the franchise owner or the person that runs that business, you also make those connections with those mommies. And I mean, this really does make me sound old, but I'll sometimes be walking in a shop and there's a mom and she says, Liz, I can't believe it. This is Jono and, you know, he's now 18.
And you go, of course I remember him.
And I actually do, I promise you. Well, I always remember, but not as often the mother's
name.
But honestly, it's so incredible that's, you know, you feel like that there's that impact that's had. It's those early years in a child's life that you really, one does have an impact on. And it's very rewarding knowing that, you know, one can play a small little role somehow in those special magical memories for a child that's been doing something that they loved. It sort of brings me back to that thing of when I was six and I did that with my mom and dad at Debbie's Wonderland. You know, I'm hoping that I'm bringing that same sense of having a joyful time with mom or with dad has, you know, is that connection with Clamber Club. Is they really connect that. It's a time, so to me, it's not even necessarily the stimulating activities or the amazing equipment that we use, etc. To me, I think the child has that sense of, I've got mom or dad all to myself. For this hour, it's all about mom and dad and me. And that to me is what those memories evoke, and that sense that you've even got with your friends. But there's also the thing between you and your child that you've had from that. And the social impact around that is then all part of the bigger picture, you know.
How catchy is your music, Genade? You know, as much as I love you, Liz, and Clamber Club, I've hidden Jog the Frog CD just once or twice. Because, you know, my baby learned the Tap Tap song, the spoon one.
Okay.
She learned that when she was about a year and a half. And the other day we hauled out the CD and we put it on and she still remembered the words. It was crazy.
Wow.
It was crazy because it taught her how to tap spoons together, you know.
And we've got a range of those CDs. But the way that actually happened is that we started
Who's the voice in it? Who sings it?
Taryn Sudding is in most of them and Francois Theron is the guy that sings, and Garth Victor. But they are, they've got the most beautiful voices.
And you developed those songs?
Well, you know what happened was initially when I started, we didn't have any music in South Africa that I, because there were certain skills I wanted to develop with each song. So the tap song teaches spatial development. So it's, you know, tapping in front, above, behind, next to. So those spatial skills are all part of your basic learning to write letters. So I wanted a song that would do forwards, backwards, sideways, body awareness songs.
Don't get me started. There's a song of that in each of those. Forwards, backwards. Ah!
And so what I did was I wrote all the words for all those songs. And then I got an incredible musician, Garth Victor, and he put the music together for those songs. And then we've got these wonderful singers. And then it just developed. We've got, you know, a range of five, and we've got, I think we've got three or four. We've got four CDs in Afrikaans
and DVDs as well.
Yeah, the action song DVDs.
The songs and the play. Oh, by the way, this is what I always wanted to know. The frog.
Yes,
Jog the Frog. Yeah, because the kids laugh because he doesn't have five fingers.
Yeah.
My kids are like, quack, quack, he doesn't have, mommy, no five fingers. So who came up with the frog?
Well, my daughter had a little frog. So when we started these classes in my lounge, she had a frog that a friend gave us from Canada as a gift when she was born. And they loved this frog. And so Froggy just eventually stayed. And I wanted to make him different to any other frog. Right. And because Clamber Club is fitness and health and exercise, we decided to put shoes on him and create our own. I got an illustrator to create him, James Durno. And we put shoes on Jog. And then he became someone that loves to jog.
Yes.
And then he became Jog the Frog. And it's so amazing because Jog the Frog rhymes, you know. So it really suits what our brand is all about, which is that outdoor healthy living, fitness, exercise. And and Jog the Frog is sort of a clumsy little character who loves to exercise, but he's always falling over his big feet.
Yeah, that too.
And the children love him. They really connect with that, you know, who Jog is and the things that he does. And the funny thing is, you know, most children will say, how old is Jog? And we always say Jog is the same age as what the child is, so that they really relate to him. Mm. You know, if the child is three, we say Jog the Frog is three. And I'm also three.
Oh, of course.
You know, Jog has the same emotions and meltdowns and ups and downs as every little toddler.
While I have you here, because you're an OT, I mean, I have so many questions around speech. When do you go and consult help? I've seen how with our older kids, we play with wet pasta and put curlers all over them for texture. And how important is the whole, you know, can your child say their name? When do they sit? You know, do we look as a new mom, do we look at all these books and feel pressurized? And
I don't think one should necessarily have to feel pressurized, which we naturally do as mothers, because we want the best for our children. So we do that. And I think milestones are important because they are a guideline as to, you know, if your child isn't sitting by the time he's sort of 10 months or 11 months, that is a concern. So I think it's important. But those milestones are very varied. So they're genetically related as well. And so, you know, if you walked late as a child, your child might also possibly walk late. So guidelines, milestones are good guidelines, but they're not set in stone that by 10 months you should be crawling. There's sort of a lot of leeway between those. And I think it's more important that children are given opportunities to have floor time, where that we don't use as many mod cons that we've got, like things like walking rings and those sitting chairs that babies are put in before their muscles are strong enough to really be doing it themselves. It's that's more important, that we allow children to have lots of sensory and motor experiences that helps with their development. And, you know, it's all the play stuff. It's all the things that are children naturally do. They love to play. They don't like sitting still when they're toddlers. Yeah. That's normal. They shouldn't be sitting still. And, you know, we often try to prevent them from doing that. And that's where all the learning happens. All those things as well at home, like, you know, making your bed or matching your socks and, you know, tipping upside down and spinning around the room or to some wonderful music, that all develops sensory skills that are important for learning. Not necessarily the ABCs in a book. It's the sensory play that is what is important. And recently, we had our franchise conference, and the theme was Evolve. And what was fascinating about that was the future of childhood. We had one of our speakers talking about the evolution of childhood, and our children have got so much screen time happening that they're losing out on the sensory play. And they were saying that children of the future don't necessarily need to know rote learning or their ABCs. They need to be learning creativity,
yeah.
Imagination, physical fitness and play, music, the arts. All of those things are going to become much more important because
the
of creativity. Yeah, exactly. Isn't it amazing?
It is.
And human connection. So the ability to have emotional intelligence and being able to relate to other people is going to be much more important than knowledge, per se, is what they're saying. So to me, you know, that is such a wonderful lesson for us because it frees us as parents not to get so hung up on the, is my child learning how to write? It's more, you know, all the other aspects. Is he having a solid, rounded upbringing much more, and are we teaching him how to connect and have empathy with others?
How do we, so there's moms listening to this, and I'm okay with it because my baby is two and I think I'm in touch with her, and we recently saw an OT, and she's doing great. She's fantastic. She's awesome.
Honestly, it's so worthwhile.
It is.
I mean, I'm an OT and my child went to OT.
Yes.
Do you know how that made me feel initially? I felt so inadequate. And you realize, well, first of all, I realized that I'm his mum, I'm not his OT. But it was so worthwhile because it was a short little window of opportunity that he needed that extra help. And I'm sure for your child as well. And developmentally, when they're young, it's so much better to take them to occupational therapy before it becomes a major problem.
For the mom who's listening, who is overwhelmed with when must my baby eat, solids, the choking, the spoon, do we do self-led? I mean, there's 100,000 things that you know, comes our way and in the form of the internet. And if it doesn't look like Pinterest, we feel even more pressured because it's not pretty, you know.
Yeah.
What is your advice to them? What do you want to say? Because you've done it. Your kids are grown up.
You know, the incredible thing is that they actually grow up despite us. So that's something to really, I think, you know, all those little things, you trust your own gut. But all the worries that I think, you know, honestly, what did I worry about that rubbish for, in a way? And they're so, I shouldn't say rubbish, because they're so real to you when you are a mother of a four-year-old and you are concerned about certain things. But it's almost going back to the basics of what are the important things, the really important things in my child's life? That they've got a loving home, that they've got security, that they've got a strong relationship with their parents. Those are much more important than all the should my child be eating this now or not. So to me, you know, of course we need to know those things. And for that, I would say find someone that you really trust and stick with that. The internet can be so confusing. But finding someone, whether it's your mother or your mother-in-law or your friend or someone in one of the mommy or toddler groups that you're going to, that you really feel that you can trust, go with that, and then go with your gut, because you're going to know when your child reacts in a certain way. Watch what his reaction is. If it doesn't work for him, then you know that's not going to be the route. It's the same as things like, should my baby be sleeping in my bed with me? You know, you've got
to go. My babies don't want to.
You see, well, lucky you, because a lot of parents are, gosh, my child is two and he's still sleeping with me. But, you know, at the same time, if that works for you as a family, well, that's wonderful. Do it. You know, they are not going to be, I can promise you, as teenagers, they are not going to be wanting to sleep in your bed. So it is, you've got to go with what works with you as a family. And trust your gut instinct. To me, most mothers actually really do know what is right for their child.
I love that. Most mothers actually do know. Thanks, Liz. That would feel much better. Someone's listening to this podcast and they want to start a Clamber Club franchise. They want to also do learning through play and sport and movement and fitness. How do we connect with you and find out more?
You can go to our website, www.clamberclub.com. We've also got our head office Facebook page. All our franchisees actually have their own Facebook pages as well. And we're on Instagram, and we've got a wonderful Clamber Club YouTube channel that parents can, and anyone that wants to find out about Clamber Club, you can watch what the sports classes look like, what a birthday party entertainment looks like, how a toddler class runs, etc. Yeah.
Where can I buy the CD that I hid again? because I'm going to be in trouble soon.
You can,
because my child can't say banana, but okay, she can say clamber club.
I should have brought you another one, so in case you forget where you've hidden it.
Mama, clamber club. I'm like, no, no, not now, later, later. Annie, no, no. She says blana.
Oh, for sweet.
Banana.
Well, you can buy them from Baby City stores countrywide. So we've got all our products in Baby City stores and from your local franchisee. And you can also buy them on our website. Our DVDs and CDs are also downloadable. So for those that don't want to buy the physical DVD or CD, you can actually download them from our website as well, from our Clamber Club shop.
Liz, you're a true inspiration. And you work so hard. You work so, so hard for us and for other people's children to make sure that we can learn and stay fit. Tell me what your name is. I wonder what you know. Henny. My name is Henny. Yes.
A clamber clab hello.
It's very, very special. And thanks for using your talent to create this.
You know, Lana, what I want to also just say is thank you to all our incredible Clamber Club franchisees, because it's not really me, it's actually the business has grown because of the incredible people that are in that business. And so it really is our franchisees that make the business what it is today. And yes, I do work hard and I love it. It really is my life and I believe it's my calling and it's where I should be and I think I will be until I'm 100. But it's the people in the company. I mean, we really do have the most amazing people, including my little head office team, that make Clamber Club what it is.
Sure.
Yeah.
Follow them on Twitter at Clamber Club Mail, also on Facebook at Clamber Club Head Office. If you want to know more, their website, clamberclub.com. Liz Senior, it's been great talking to you. You can say something if you want.
Thank you so much, Alana.
You're welcome.
it has made my day that Clamber Club has meant so much to you and your children.
It has.
It really does make everything
just
that
so
we
you
do
know, they pay
worthwhile.
Me no money to say that.
Thank
okay?
you.
So I say it because I believe in it. I really do. I do because I've met my favorite person is Sally. My Sally, really. Yeah. She really helped me with my eldest one.
Yes, Sally, who runs the Durbanville franchise.
Yeah.
Yes.
She's really awesome and we've become great friends. We've actually become really, really good friends.
She is
we
amazing.
We connect now and then, but it feels like we've been speaking all along. It's really...
Well, thank you so much, Alana. And thank you for being such an incredible mother. Because... Yeah, you really are, because the things that you say about your children, but also just you are present with your children, and that is one of the biggest gifts that you can give them. So
thank you
for that and teaching us about being in the present moment and, as you say, mindfulness.
Mindfulness, it's a big word. It just means focus.
Yeah.
Focus on the now, okay? No, this has been great. Where are you off to now?
I'm going back to the office.
Oh.
Back to Clamber Club.
I'm going to pick up Clamber my kids from the school.
Enjoy. Thanks so much, Alana.
For these and other stories, you can go to our website, babybrunch.co.za. This was great. Liz Senior, thank you.
And thank you. Bye-bye.
Baby Brunch is made just for you by Bright Rock. Becoming a parent changes everything, from your sleep schedule to your finances. That's why Bright Rock's Needs Match Life Insurance lets you precisely craft a solution to cover your specific needs. From protecting your income to covering your debts and your child's future. Because you pay just for the cover you need, you can get up to 40% more cover. So get the first ever needs-matched life insurance that changes as your life changes. Go to brightrock.co.za. Brightrock Life is an authorized financial services provider and registered insurer. Terms and conditions apply.